where we were when the timer tick happened, and we add it to the process.
Which means that if you're clever, you can fake it, and yeah. you never get hit on the timer tick, and you look like you haven't used any CPU. But yeah. that's a bug.
The process accounting is pretty crappy in Unix in general.
So there's a current variable, your first piece of kernel code, that current. Current is a global variable. It's off- run something else they call schedule. Usually there are higher level things that call schedule, but that's the basic one. It's the only fundamental way it's linking, other than preempt. Okay? We're going to have to speed up.
Okay. Interrupt. Yeah. So interrupt handlers run in interrupt context as opposed to user context. Interrupt context is a little different. Currents not run whenever they want, asynchronously, so they interrupt stuff, and that's not nice to the things they interrupt. So speed is crucial when you're writing an interrupt handler. The fewer lines, the better.
That and doesn't mean put all your code on one line.
Yes. All right. Oh, so when an interrupt handler runs, it disables its current interrupt line. So that means you can't have recursive...
This is Xfig. Xfig always works, but I'm not going to go there. Here we have two CPUs. This is a complete diagram of the system, right? We don't need to go into everything here, but you can see there's user process below the line in user space, okay, which we won't be talking about today. System call or trap on the left-hand side leads into user context in the kernel. The kernel's doing something on behalf of that.
Not so much.
You can't even give away the X40s. Yeah.
All right.
So, can I still get power then? Because I don't know where the hell my power is. I mean, yeah. The laptop's useless now, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just don't plug in. Okay. As you can see, hard interrupts can interrupt. You could actually be running in user space. You get a hard interrupt. It could be user context. And we have these things called...
Whose stack are you running on during the interrupt handler?
Good question.
Whose stack are you running on? Okay, so traditionally...
Yeah, there's like three answers to this question.
Yes. Traditionally, the stack you're running on was whatever process, like whatever kernel stack of whatever user context associated. So when a process is running in user space, we've got, but no longer true with the 4K stacks patch, we actually keep separate stacks and switch the stack pointer over where you take an interrupt. So in that case, that allows us to reduce the stack because now it's only for user context. Right? And on some architectures we've been doing that for a while. So it's an x86 config option recently. So that's the stack question.
Hit immediately. So you don't lose interrupts.
Okay, first mission. Okay. We're going to walk you through this one, but from now after this, it's just going to be this slide up here, and we're going to be wandering around the room. What it doesn't say here is you have to break up into groups. Right? You'll be smart enough to do the tutorial, and well, statistically, you'll be with somebody who can figure it out.
That works. Look at the X40.
Yeah, it's not actually because it's hard, but it's because... Okay, yeah. It's not because it's hard, it's just because our explanations suck.
Yeah. No, you really do want to break into groups because some of the assignments get trickier. And be, you know, if there's five of you, you're going to figure it out and have a lot more fun. And you'll, we're going to have you add some makefile info, add the kconfig info. You're going to build it, load it, unload it. And then your next time is to fix all the bugs in the SCSI layer. Yes. Well, some of you are more advanced than others.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay. Open your laptops. Oh.
LR3K. Yes.
Thank you. First mistake spotted.
You just got the one mistake.
Some slides have two mistakes.
There may also be a mistake in the code. The code and the bullets are separate namespaces.
I'll give you the spec sheet for the LR. You've already typed it in. You have another preparation. You probably should, like, you know, talk to this. Hey, look, listen to this. This guy didn't do the preparation. So can you look over your shoulder as you type? Okay. Stream programming is like, ooh, made a mistake there.
Thank you.
So everyone's got one?
No. It's the hands forward.
Michael Stills. And along. Right. Yep, missing one. No. The others are too lazy to put up their hand. But you formed a group here. It's good. And you guys are extreme programming. You're looking over this. No. QM is just happy to see. But it'll build. Both emulators. But your problem is going to be getting a root image. The X86, I've only got an X86 root image. But if you do a Debian install in site QMU.
So do we need one?
Okay, so everybody.
Yeah, but it's like one of these ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
13 seconds.
Yeah. You have 10 seconds.
Actually, you can use this. I think left goes up, right goes down, something like that.
Us what for us and shit.
Okay.
And it was LR3K.C.
Still.
You have to make sure you named it that.
Okay. Has everyone got that line? $/bracket and key encryption. Way improved from what it used to be. Add this entry.
What?
Yeah, you were really out of it yesterday.
Why?
In the word.
Yes. In the have this driver in front of you, all done and it works, your lives are going to be changed. This is the most powerful crypto engine ever written.
That's right. Okay. So once you've done that, you go back to the top level, and for those of you who are ahead of the game, type make alt config, and it should scroll past furiously and then ask you. So they had to do that to build the thing. They had to build and boot the thing under QM to check it worked and all that stuff. So they've got a .conf thing that will work under QM. Yeah. Well, then it's going to take a while. Okay. When you finish the build, put your hand up. We wander around while they do.
Yeah.
Yep. Didn't it? Then you made a typo in the cake thing, or the make bar. Right. You made a typo in the make bar. No, make should be here.
Make sure it's remade somewhere.
Yep. You shouldn't be here, Paul. If you learn anything, there's something wrong. Army of ones. Good see. Yeah, that's good. Okay, you're all good. Happiness, you've got the love rusty log module inside it so the kernel can get to it. Kind of messy. Because it has a boot sector on the front, of course everyone will recognize 32256 as being 512 times by 63. It is. So your command line will look something like that. You look to somewhere to mount it. You mount it. When you finish that, unmount mint QMU, and we're ready to start.
Oops, it tripped over. So you're not different watts, are they?
Beeped, it's good.
When you catch on fire, we'll find out.
Yeah. X will do it, or if it's got little QMU prompts, you can type quit, or you can control C it. But of course, if it's got the thing mounted, it'll look physical next time it comes up. Yeah. I either run it with dash snapshot, which means don't write anything. But can you do mount show? What does it mean?
Debian. File.debian. Oh, put 120 O's in there.
Oh, yeah. Yoni's right. Yeah. I'd watch the other people in your team. Okay. Is everyone good? You having fun yet? Time to run QMU. That is all one line. Okay. That says to QMU, use bob.debian, which you've now unmounted, remember. Non-graphical mode. In the append, put console equals tty_s0, capital S. And so you'll get a console boot rather than a graphical boot. Even if you don't do that, you'll end up with a login prompt. Yep.
/sbin
isn't a default. Yeah, I know. So I've made a mistake. So what I did is I took...
Name is LR3K or whatever you called it.
Yep. Yeah, we told it to call it LR3K. So yeah. This is LR3K, no extension. Has anyone done that yet? Okay. Cool. Yep. Oh, would there be a chance of going back a slide? We can certainly go back a slide. But it won't read the config file, and yeah, it's good for low-level hacks. Yep. I may not have. It'll just stop, and we need to control C anyway. It'll say power off.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Type halt. Yeah, power off doesn't. Power off, yeah. In sbin halt, it'll say power off, and then you can control C it. It doesn't matter if you don't shut down cleanly, it'll just physic on the next time up. Okay? Who cares? It's a small image, and it's physic fast. Okay. Is anyone having problems still? Okay, there's a couple here. Yeah, I think that was implied.
I know, but obviously we really should be able to kill.
Did it work when you did that?
No.
You didn't do the sprint. Okay, that's fine. Not my problem. Okay. Good. Okay. Let's write a script, because we're going to be doing this a lot. Right? And your script will look like this, only it won't have the line breaks and stuff. Okay? If you're having trouble shutting down, you can add -snapshot to that QMU line, which says don't actually commit any of the writes to the image. Which window? Control H. Yeah, if you halt, it'll unmount cleanly. But if you're lazy, you just control C it like me. Okay.
So you guys in groups, you know, work together. You don't need to each. I mean, you can all do this, but you could, you know, rally around a laptop or two.
The guy who's the fastest typer.
Yeah.
So while you're typing in that, I'll tell you a brief history of QMU. Who's used QMU before they prepared for this tutorial? The rest of you have been living in sin. QMU is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I've done a complete Debian install inside QMU. In fact, that's how I've, you know, I've done a number of different distro installs inside QMU, like you. Fabrice Bellard. Who's heard of TCC, the Tiny C compiler? Yeah, it's another Fabrice project. That was the one where he booted the kernel. But his bootloader actually compiled the kernel source and booted that in about 18 seconds.
That was the obfuscated C winner as well.
He has also twice won the obfuscated C competition. The guy's an absolute legend to the outside world, and then shuffled the data back and forth between the real external TCP connection and the packetized QMU, so QMU thinks it's talking to the outside world, which is how you get on the network without being root or having to install a kernel module. I love Fabrice. He's a legend. Okay. Who saw the error about having a 10 kernel when they did modprobe? Preferably the GPL.
Yeah, preferably the one we told you about. You copyright it, give it a name, tell a little story.
Mm-hmm. Which file number are
you? Your source.
LR3K.c.
From now on, I think that's the only thing we're going to ever have you touch.
Yeah, it's the only file we're going to touch from now on.
So the rest of today will just be you updating that file and then doing...
Updating that file, recompiling, running QMU, testing it, shutting down. That's what we're going
to do. For a module that, you know, looked kind of weird, different from user space program, was the printk. Printk is the kernel version of printf. It's pretty much the same as printf, except, of course, instead of printing to standard out, it prints to a kernel console log buffer. Syntax and usage is exactly the same.
Well, so they do want to change all the print case in the kernel and they introduce the different levels, so they can't with this hack. You see a lot of that.
And so actually all it is a pointy bracket, a number between 0 and 7, I think, 8,
yeah,
and 7. Then a closing bracket in quotes, so it just gets...
Less than greater.
It just gets prepended.
Okay. Mod probe time, that gets called at mod probe dash R time. This is important. This int. 0 on success and negative on error. Now that's backwards from standard C convention, where 0 is false and anything else is true, which is kind of irritating, but it allows us to overload it.
We're assuming that it's worthless. Important. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to get our driver to do something interesting. Okay, we're actually going to touch the LR3000 card.
So the LR3000 is a PCI device and register driver, and we're going to be using those shortly. PCI driver structure is an attempt to make C look like an object-oriented programming language. It contains a bunch of function pointers that you set up with your own functions. And so the kernel can make calls into your driver. The kernel, this is just showing you exactly what it would look like. The kernel then will be able to execute these functions. The probe function will get called in response to the kernel detecting the device. So when the kernel detects your device, your physical PCI hardware, a vendor and a device ID specifically, that hardware can say, hey, this is me. You tell the kernel that you support these devices that match these numbers, and when the kernel detects this hardware come alive, it'll find your match, and it'll call your probe function. So this is really, really easy. A long time ago, you'd have to write this all by hand. You know, in the days of DOS, you'd have to write everything by hand. Within themselves would say, hey, this device ID is this device that we're selling. And if they change the hardware, they're supposed to change the device ID. They don't. They're idiots. Sub-vendor and sub-device are just, you know, further delineations of the numbers, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes you might want to say, I want to match everything with a given value. The preprocessor device,
PCI device structure, we set the table pointer to point to that guy. And so the kernel walks through that table until it hits the zero entry and knows which cards are ours. Yeah, this one's pretty obvious.
So if your driver, if you have one driver that supports multiple hardware, maybe because multiple vendors ship this.
Okay.
What if you only want to support one? Let's say you have a chip which provides multiple. You only want to support one of the...
Yeah. That's in the advanced section. That's tomorrow. And we won't be here.
On occasion, we won't know the answer to something, so we're just going to make shit up. Or we're going to be rude back to you.
Or lie.
Okay.
For example, and the ID table that you created above, and then in your if function, or anywhere else you might think was appropriate.
No.
You call PCI register driver with that PCI driver structure, okay? So we're fleshing out the driver now.
So now your module, once you do this, is actually going to identify the Loveres T3K.
If you need to look at the structures again, they're in those headers. Okay. Include Linux. Mod device table, including the PCI device.
Can we go back to slide?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's what the headers are. I mean, this is the way you're going to end up doing it. You're going to be grovelling around headers to find scripts. Oh, yeah. Isn't it? This is the typical kind of crap you get from vendors. You don't know. The answer is just make it wildcard for now and figure it out later. And when you find out what it is, then you can actually fix the driver. For the moment, just use a wildcard on the classes. Class must zero should be fine. We put a lot of traps like that in our tutorial, deliberately. No pressure. No, you're doing fine. Are people all finished that yet? Or are we still on? Still
but I didn't before the break.
No, they're not, but they'll either jail or finish.
We have to break the spirit. Yeah. Oh, we're going to break it down.
Yeah.
Boot camp.
What should we do if this guy gets to drive a fast?
All right, you're getting ahead of me, with the exception of my finally written book. So, you
if,
know,
if you'd read that book, you would know the answer to that question.
Actually, it's not in there. The book's 400 pages of utter shit.
The microphone was on, dude.
What should name look like? Does it matter?
Bug reports.
So on an earlier slide, we mentioned that you can call printk anywhere. That's pretty unique for kernel functions. Most of them can only be called in certain cases because of issues with sleeping, interrupts, locking, blah, blah, blah. Well, printk you can call anywhere, so feel free to stick it everywhere. It'll help when you're, you know, writing this.
Cool. No. The point of the structure, well, firstly, it's got the name there. Secondly, it's you've got the header name. So if you look in include Linux mod device table.h, you can actually find... Is everyone having fun? So you guys are working in a group. This is good. That's a spirit. Yes. You could also make tags in the top level.
Rusty, can you remind us the PCI register driver returns something suitable for our functions to return?
Good question. We didn't tell you. But it will be in the header. And yes. Okay, so at this point, you do not need to handle errors, by the way. We could get... No. Okay. Working on the kernel is going to be 70% reading and 30% writing at best. Most of the time you like to be reading other people's code. A lot of times you'll be groveling through headers with, you know, with not enough documentation. You like to have to start looking at implementing.
You are in.
None of the rest of us. And so we end up doing this. This is how we wrote this driver, right? I went through and I went, okay, what does it look like? Let's look in the header. Okay. Cool, what arguments does it take? Write the slides.
You ran a PCI driver?
Yeah, I had never written a PCI driver before.
Yep. So.
I'm a network guy, but I think you didn't know what I was. Yeah, that always helps. Have all the patients, yeah. Oh, okay. That's actually a good question, yeah. Equals open curly. Okay, right. I'm sorry.
We have no choice but to use it.
It's beautiful. He's right. He's wrong.
The GNU way is way better.
No, the GNU way sucks. This way can be grep for. You can grep for.
This sucks,
no.
Okay?
Look! Look, preamp boy! Okay.
This is a flame.
There were several ways that GCC ends up, and it's not very self-documenting. If you're trying to find, for example, everywhere that someone sets the owner field with that old fashioned style, a grep for dot or arrow owner will not find it. With the C99 style of initialization, a grep will find that assignment, that initialization. And that's what I like about it. Now, some says that it will be zero or null if it's a null, which is usually the same thing. It is the same thing in the kernel. So yeah, if that confused you, that's why. And of course, funnily enough, the only example we had looks remarkably similar to what you're supposed to be writing now. So we'll just get rid of that.
No!
Sorry? They should use that method. There was some old... Is it an old way of doing it? Yeah. When 2.6, we went through and cleaned them all up, because the old way is deprecated. GC extensions compile. through your morning tea, that's fine. I think we have 10, 15 minutes for morning tea. So I think there is actually stuff outside, am I right?
Yes.
Yep, there's stuff outside for nibbles. So those of you who finished early can run and return, and the diehards can work through.